Hello there, Nightmare Society. No joke, my wife has been hearing some strange noises in the house lately. It's got her a bit freaked out. It's a small reminder of the great dependence we consciously and subconsciously have in the safety of our home, our fortress, the one place we're supposed to not feel fear. Tonight's stories completely shatter that notion. Before we get started, I wanted to say hello to a few people. Jake at LSR_25, who was the only one to guess the sound effect I was creating in my Instagram video with the toilet paper. We work with what we have around here, so. Excellent job, Jake, and thank you so much for being a listener. Also, hello to Brad New, Ross Bomber, Ashley Moore, Ella Neat, and Mr. Ryan Coggin. I appreciate you guys, and I hope you continue to enjoy the show. Now, on to the good stuff. Our first story is from an anonymous contributor, and our main story tonight is from #FreeTater. They were kind enough to send me security footage proof of what's going on at the home. I have seen it, but will not be sharing it as it contains personal information. Just trust me, it's creepy. So, get comfy, and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This just happened a few days ago, and I am extremely shaken up. Some backstory. I live on the second floor of a three-level apartment. We have a crawl space that connects all the apartments. We aren't sure why, but it's there, and we all have stuff in it. And none of us would ever even attempt to go inside of it, so we felt pretty safe. The other night, the sun was setting, but it wasn't pitch black out or anything yet. I'm walking through my living room when I see a short woman on my fire escape looking into my windows. This is extremely bizarre considering it's still semi-light out, and she had to literally get onto our fire escape somehow. We have two windows that the fire escape reaches, and she was looking in both, but didn't see me. I crawled onto the ground and my heart was racing as I watched her try to open the windows. I didn't know what the heck to do because my phone was in the other room. After what seemed like an eternity, she finally left. I went into my room to get my phone to text my landlord and call the cops. I came back into the living room and was looking out the windows to see if I could locate her when all of a sudden, I hear a weird noise coming from the ceiling. We have one of those tile ceilings made out of separate slabs of cork or wood. I look up to see one of the slabs lifted up and two eyes staring back at me. I have no clue how she got into the crawl space so quickly, but I grabbed the nearest thing next to me, which was a broom, and started hitting her with it through the ceiling, and immediately called the cops as soon as she crawled away. They showed up and searched the place and didn't find her until a few days later when she was on someone else's fire escape. The cops said she was definitely on some hard drugs, and that she was violent towards them. I'm glad she's gone, but whoever that crazy lady that came through my ceiling was, let's not meet again. My mom built a house in a brand new neighborhood in 2010, back when I was in college. Since I went to school locally, I continued to live here with her for a few years. I loved everything about her house. More so, I loved the neighborhood. It's quiet, peaceful, and super safe. After I graduated, I married my now husband. We went through the being poor phase, as most couples do. But fast forward 8 years and suddenly we found ourselves being able to afford a home in my mom's neighborhood. The dream come true. My husband loved the neighborhood just as much as I did. Plus, my mom is super cool, so he doesn't mind living close, in case she ever needs anything. After we moved in, I joined the neighborhood HOA Facebook page. It's a small neighborhood, only about 150 houses, so the page stays pretty quiet. Everyone was friendly and welcomed us. Nothing out of the ordinary. Yet. My favorite part of our house is that it backs up to a park with a running trail. I've always had a passion for fitness, particularly running. It's my way to de-stress and, of course, get those happy endorphins. The park is surrounded by baseball fields, soccer fields, and playgrounds, with a running trail that weaves between it all. I've always felt pretty safe there. Not only is it a busy park, but my husband runs with me as well. Well, maybe not with me, but near me, as he is much faster. We stay in each other's sight, at least. One day, I got a notification on Facebook that someone had posted in the neighborhood group. This really doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's usually about a misdelivered UPS package or a lost dog. I clicked on it and was immediately creeped out. A woman posted that she was in her kitchen and all of a sudden felt like she was being watched. She looked up to see a man, shamelessly peering into her kitchen window, hands cupped around his face and his face up against the glass. She was really freaked out and wanted to warn us neighbors about her experience. Other people began commenting that they've seen the man too, looking around on porches or peeking in house and car windows. It was determined that this man, who I would say is 20 to 25 years old, is thought to have a mild mental disability and lives with his parents in the neighborhood. Therefore, people decided to go easy on him and did not press charges. They assumed he was just bored, but harmless. It all blew over. We noticed him around the neighborhood after that. My husband even spoke to him a few times, just trying to be friendly. No one ever seemed to talk to him, and my husband is one to make everyone feel included. Months after this incident, my husband and I started feeling unchallenged with our running regimen, so we began training for a half marathon 4 days a week. Like I said, our house backs up to the park, but at an angle. So our garage isn't completely visible to those at the park. Every time we went running, we would take a garage door opener from my car, exit the garage, and close the garage behind us. Then we would set the opener behind the fence post to our backyard. Looking back, this probably wasn't very smart, but I knew it was a safe neighborhood and figured no one is ever around to see where we hide it. About 7 weeks into our half marathon program, we had a very off day. We only ran for about 3 miles before just feeling drained. We decided to cut our normal 2-hour training session to 30 minutes and walked home. When we turned the corner into our alley to go to our garage, the garage door was open. This was strange, as we always made sure it was closed. We always left our dogs in the house and didn't want them to somehow get out. Walking up the driveway, I thought,
wow, I really am off today.
That's when I went to grab the garage door opener in my secret hiding place, only to discover that it was now missing. Panic immediately hit. My stomach dropped and my body froze. Where is it? Who took it? What if someone is in there? What if they expected us to be home later and they're still in there? Really, I think I was most concerned about the safety of my dogs. I immediately called my sister, who works as a police dispatcher, for advice. She happened to be at work and sent an officer to clear our house. He checked every nook and cranny, ensuring that the house was empty. He told us that our dogs had probably scared off whoever it was with their deep barks. They sound a lot meaner than they are. Even after the officer left, I was so paranoid. I felt almost violated. I immediately posted in our Facebook group what happened to warn others. We decided this was the best time to set up our security cameras that we hadn't gotten around to yet. We set them up immediately in hopes that the perpetrator would come back and try to come in the house again. However, I already had the garage reprogrammed, received a new remote, and put a little access code box on the outside so that no one could steal the opener again. It cost me $160, but my safety is priceless. Over the next few days, I watched every single motion detection that my cameras caught. 4 days later, after work, I sat down on my couch to go over my daily videos, not expecting to find anything. However, in a video taken around 10 a.m., I caught him. It was him. The window peeking, porch hanging man that roams around the neighborhood. He walked up my back driveway, repeatedly hit the button on the remote, knowing my husband and I would not be home at 10 a.m. on a work day. Thankfully, it has been deactivated. After realizing it didn't work anymore, he slipped it back into its hiding place and casually walked away. I was furious, to be honest. Out of all the people, my husband always made sure to take time out of his day to talk to him. That man took our opener when he knew we weren't in the house, and came back at a later time when he knew we wouldn't be there again. I found his dad in the Facebook group, tagged him in my post about what happened, and asked him to please message me. I was being rather graceful and tried to be understanding, not knowing the level of mental disability this man actually has. I was immediately met with the father denying it all and telling me I was wrongfully accusing his son. I sent the video from my camera directly to him and said,
"That is your son, correct?"
Immediately he apologized and gave every excuse in the world as to why his son had done that. He told me that his son got kicked out of school, gets kicked out of every program, and gets fired from any job he has for behavioral issues. He said,
"I just don't know what to do with him anymore. I've tried talking to a psychiatrist, and I'll mention this too."
He was trying to convince me that I should not be upset or get the cops involved. What I couldn't understand is if his son's behavior is as uncontrollable as he says, why does he let him roam the neighborhood by himself every day? I was truly worried for the safety of this guy's son. After all, this is Texas. Everyone owns a gun, and people here don't tend to ask questions when someone enters their home unlawfully. It's dangerous for him to just go around breaking and entering. After the man apologized and begged me not to report it to the police 100 times, it got weirder. He sent me a message asking for my bank account information. I'm sure the face I made would have been funny to see when I read that message. He said it was to, quote, wire me the money that it cost to have our garage reprogrammed. After I declined, he insisted on coming over to chat, and he said he would bring over cash. He was very persistent, demanding my address, and I was getting uncomfortable. This is when I decided to get the police involved. I didn't want neighborhood drama. I did not want to give my bank account information to a random stranger, and I didn't want him in my house to chat. I figured we could let the police handle it in a drama-free, unbiased manner. The police came and took a report. They took a picture of my receipt from the garage door company and asked me to send them the video I caught of the man. Plus, since the dad offered to pay me back, guilt had already been admitted. They could charge him with a Class B misdemeanor, theft of over $100. Still, I was trying to be understanding. I did not press charges, yet. More so, I just wanted the officers to go talk with both the man and his dad about what's appropriate behavior and what isn't. Maybe scare them both a little bit and have to realize that they are accountable. I really thought I had been pretty nice about this. However, they didn't answer the door when the police went. The next day, my husband and I went for our daily run. I didn't see the man. I was feeling pretty good. Mid-run, enjoying the breeze and sun on my face, when my blood ran cold. There, amongst a jungle gym bustling with children, was the man, sitting near the monkey bars, watching me. Staring me down. I finished my run on the opposite side of the park. Honestly, I was so angry, I wanted to confront him, but I decided to let it go. The look that he was giving me was spine-tingling, though, like I got him in trouble, and he was angry. It got to the point where every time I went running, he was in a different area of the park. Just watching me. Not my husband. Just me. If I got close enough and my husband was ahead of me, he would intercept between us and try to walk toward me. I would immediately turn around. When I'd look back, he would be standing in the middle of the path, staring me down. Unluckily, but luckily at the same time, I broke my foot and have been in a boot for 4 months. So I haven't been running at the park. I do see him roaming the neighborhood, lurking between houses. Recently I got home and the access code box on our garage was open. Someone had been trying to get in. However, my camera right there was dead. Ugh. I make sure that the camera is always charged now. Just a few days ago, we noticed someone broke into the side yard. The double gate was broken open and wide open. This side yard happens to be on the side of the house with a large frosted window leading into my bathroom. I have no proof it was him, as I don't have cameras on that side of the house. Maybe it was someone else, but who knows? The detective on my case has gone to this man's house over 20 times trying to make contact to get a resolution. He leaves a business card in the door every time, which gets taken, but he is never contacted. He's called the father and left many voicemails, but never gets a call. The detective recently told me that he will be issuing a warrant for the man's arrest, since the police department has been ignored. And the man and his father have refused to cooperate. My detective literally told me to call in the non-emergency line anytime I see him roaming the neighborhood and to tell them to contact him immediately so he can catch him and speak with him. Lastly, he asked me to spread the word to neighbors that we need to press charges anytime we catch him doing something wrong, and not be talked out of it by the father. After consulting with 3 different experts in mental disabilities, all 3 stated that the man, quote, knows exactly what he's doing and is very cognizant of right and wrong. Therefore, we proceeded with theft charges that I was hesitant to press before. So, to this day, he continues to ignore the police's requests. He continues to roam the neighborhood. Although lately it's been so cold out, I haven't seen him as much. I'm sure when summer comes around, he will be out and about again. I refuse to run at the park anymore. I'll drive to the running trail 15 minutes away if it means running can be my happy place again. I've even considered moving, but I love this house, and I love this neighborhood. I'm not letting one person win over me. But I'm not going to lie. I feel like this is how every true crime murder story starts, and I'm nervous even submitting this story, wondering if he will hear it. I always wonder why this guy stares me down and tries to follow me. But more than anything, why the heck does he so badly want to get into my house? What would he do if he got in? So, to the random neighborhood creeper, if you're listening, stay the hell away from me, and let's never meet. I have to say, stories that happen in the home truly creep me out. I have some interesting stories of my own that maybe I'll tell one of these days. Back in October of last year, after we had been in our new home for a couple of months, we had a similar post on our neighborhood group of a strange man walking the neighborhood. We quickly put a security system at the top of our list. No, I'm not sponsored by a security system. I just really love them. Again, a huge thanks to my friend #FreeTater for sharing their story with us. And we're all hoping that this ends up resolving itself for you and your husband. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram @NightmareSocietyRadio and Twitter @Society_Radio. I'd love to hear your true horror stories in my inbox, NightmareSocietyRadio@gmail.com. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.